So we're going to be, this sermon series is on forgiveness. We've been talking about this series for a little while already and kind of building up to it. There's small groups going relating to this thing, and we've got our signs back there and everything. So it shouldn't be a surprise for you to hear that we're going to talk about forgiveness. And when we're talking about forgiveness in this series, we're mainly going to be talking not about God forgiving us, which that is an important biblical teaching, but rather than that, we're mainly going to be talking about the biblical teaching about Christians' responsibility to forgive other people, right? So God's forgiveness of us is something that we talk about quite a bit at Clearwater Church, but this series is mostly going to be about our responsibility to forgive other people. Now, as you know, I just mentioned I recently returned from 2 months of teaching at Union Bible Institute in South Africa, and I had a great time. It was a really good couple of months, and I'm glad to be back, even though there's lots of snow, and I got snowed on several times. It was summer over there, but anyway, glad to be back. But right away when I got back, I started doing some study and doing some reading and getting ready to talk about this series on forgiveness. And Pastor Mike and I have had lots of discussions about the meaning of forgiveness and trying to clarify exactly what the Bible teaches and what the Bible means when it's talking about forgiveness. And that's pretty normal. Mike and I always normally talk about our sermons, especially as we're getting into a new sermon series. We have a lot of discussions about where we're going with it and what we're going to talk about and all that. But this time, these discussions have been especially lively and especially lengthy, and we've also brought in a number of other people, and we've been discussing this issue with a bunch of other people, and we also ordered 2 more books on forgiveness that we had rush shipped up here so we can get more help in understanding what we're talking about and what the Bible says. And at this point, this sermon series has me a bit scared, and here's why. Because when we talk about forgiving those who have wronged us, people do not think about the small injustices that we suffer on a regular basis, right? We don't think about the guy who cut in line in front of us, and we don't think about that time when our brother was told by our parents that he's supposed to share, but he ate both of the cookies. We don't think about those things. Instead, when we talk about forgiving someone who has wronged us, we think about the worst things that have ever happened to us in our whole lives. And many of us have had terrible things happen to us. And whenever we talk about those things, about which people have such strong emotional feelings and strong emotions, we need to speak very carefully. It's good for pastors to be aware of the potential to touch a sensitive nerve with the people that are hearing the message. And because it would be easy to hurt people with a clumsy approach to a sensitive topic. And so that's part of why I'm a bit afraid of this sermon series, is just because it's such a sensitive topic and people have such strong feelings about it. So when you're talking about it, you could accidentally hurt somebody. But on the topic of forgiveness, there's another factor that adds to my fear. And that is the fact that there is a lack of consensus among Christians about a number of key questions relating to forgiveness. So here's a quotation from the book Unpacking Forgiveness by Chris Bronze, which is one of the books that we've been reading. And this is part of a true-false quiz that he has in the introduction to his book. So here it is. He says, statement number 3, most Christian pastors and counselors agree about what forgiveness is and how it should take place. False. In reality, pastors and counselors disagree profoundly about forgiveness. This is just a fact. Even among Christian authors, opinions about forgiveness range from Maine to California. Now, this does not mean that we are uncertain about everything when it comes to forgiveness. There are many key principles and teachings about forgiveness that are clear and unambiguous in the Bible. And I want to say that again. There are many key principles and teachings about forgiveness that are clear and unambiguous in the Bible. And that is where we're going to put the majority of our focus in this sermon series. We're going to put most of our emphasis on the things that the Bible teaches most clearly and about which there is the least debate among Christians. But there is disagreement on some significant questions. And one of the things that makes this especially difficult is that many authors do not acknowledge that there is any ambiguity or difference of opinion. And so they simply state their views as if they are the only acceptable Christian views. And many Christians, including many at Clearwater Church, have heard that teaching or read those books, and they don't realize that what they've been taught is not the only way of seeing things. And they're not aware of legitimate disagreements that others have. And many Christians have a great deal of emotional investment in the things that they have been taught about forgiveness. And it would not be surprising if you were to have a strong negative emotional response to hearing something that's different from what you've been taught before. So do you see why I'm a little afraid of this sermon series? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best to teach what the Bible says about forgiveness. And I'm going to choose my words carefully. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen closely to the words that I'm saying. And I want you to resist trying to fill in the blanks and figure out all the implications of what I'm not saying. If I don't take a stand on something, I'm asking you not to assume that you know what I would say based on what I have said. So, he said this, so that means what he would have said if he'd... No, don't do that. If I don't address a particular question, it's possible that never occurred to me. I haven't thought of that question, and I'm not talking about it because I didn't think of that. But it's also more likely that I'm uncertain of the answer to that question, and I'm deliberately choosing not to give an answer that goes beyond what the Bible teaches us clearly. So one last thing before we get into today's passage from the teaching of Jesus about forgiveness, and it is another quotation from that book, Unpacking Forgiveness. Here's what he says. He says, "How can anyone decide what is right when there are so many conflicting opinions?" The answer is that you must consistently evaluate everything against the gold standard of Scripture. Be like the Bereans Luke wrote about in Acts. Resolve that you are going to work out an understanding of forgiveness based on the Word of God. You don't need my opinion or anyone else's. You need to hear from God. And that's the author speaking, but let me echo that in my own voice. You don't need to hear my opinion about forgiveness. You don't need to hear Pastor Mike's opinion about forgiveness. You need to hear from God. And so here's that verse from Acts about the Bereans. It's from Acts 17 where it says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica." If you're from Thessalonica, I'm sorry, this is the Bible. "For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." So these Jews were hearing the gospel about Jesus for the first time. This was brand new to them, and they were not quite sure whether they should accept it or not. They were very interested, but they were like, "I don't know about this. This is new and different." And they examined the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. Because if it matched with the Bible, then it was true. And if it didn't match with the Bible, then it was not true. Because the Bible is the standard of truth. So as we look at forgiveness in this series, and some of the things that we say in these sermons might seem hard to accept, you need to ask yourself, is this really what the Bible teaches? And if it is what the Bible teaches, then you need to accept it as true. So now, with all of that as introduction, let's take a look at what Jesus taught about forgiveness in Luke chapter 17. So Luke chapter 17, I'm going to start reading in verse 3, where it says, "If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." I want to read those two verses again, because I think that there's some strong things said there, and I want the impact of those two verses to sink in a little bit. So just take these two verses at face value and consider what Jesus is calling us to do. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, "I repent," you must forgive them. See, Jesus is calling us here to a lifestyle of habitual, perpetual forgiveness. This is the heart of the biblical teaching about forgiving one another. And it's not easy to accept. In fact, it's so difficult that Jesus' disciples didn't think they could do it. Look at that next verse. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." It's too hard. We don't have the strength to do this. We need Jesus to give us more faith so that we can do what he's asking us to do. So what is it that makes this so hard? There's 3 things that make this so hard. The first verse here, verse 3, is pretty hard. Let's look at that. First, it says, when someone sins against you, Jesus tells us we cannot ignore it. We need to rebuke them. That is, we need to go to the person who has sinned against us and explain to them how they were wrong. And that is not a fun conversation. Now, depending on your own personality, and depending on the specific circumstances of the sin and how large a sin it was and how much you were hurt, this might not be all that difficult. But there are definitely times when it is incredibly difficult. There are times when getting a root canal, or 2 or 3, with no anesthesia, would be preferable to having this conversation. But Jesus tells us that this is what we got to do. You have to go and rebuke the person who sinned against you. Now, the Bible does say in another passage, it's okay to take another person with you for support when you confront them, but you must confront them. You must explain to them that what they did was wrong in the hopes that they will learn and repent. And that brings us to the next incredibly difficult thing that Jesus requires from us. When they repent, we must forgive. We cannot hold their sin against them. We are not to hold a grudge and remain angry and bitter toward them. Peter, one of the apostles who was there on this day, and heard this teaching from Jesus, he later wrote a letter to Christians in which he teaches about how we are to treat the people who mistreat us. And this is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And he says there, "Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." And then later, the Apostle Paul wrote something very similar in his letter to the Christians at Rome. He says in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." So Christians are not to hold grudges or seek revenge or repay evil for evil or refuse to forgive. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. And that is not an easy teaching to obey, because we want to repay evil for evil. When someone hurts us, we want to hurt them back. We want to make them pay. But Jesus says to forgive. But what if the thing that they did was not a small thing? At what point do we say, that was too much, you have exceeded the limit, and now I am justified in not forgiving? So what's Jesus' top end of how much hurt we need to forgive? There is no limit. Jesus doesn't give us a way out of this requirement to forgive by weighing the damage and concluding that this particular sin was beyond forgiveness. What does Jesus say? He says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. So that's the second difficult thing. And I think it's harder than the first thing. First, you have to confront them. Second, you have to forgive them. It's hard to confront the person who hurt you. It's even harder to forgive them. But the third part makes those other two seem easy. Third part is in verse 4. It says, even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. 7 times in one day. Yeah. And it's not that they did 7 hurtful things to you in one day, and then you rebuke them and they repent and you forgive them for all 7. That would be pretty hard, but that's not what Jesus is saying. This is much, much harder than that. What he's saying here is that if they hurt you once and you rebuke them and then they repent and you forgive them and the whole cycle again happens a few hours later, they hurt you a second time and a second time you rebuke them and they repent and you forgive. And then a half an hour later, they hurt you a third time. And you go through the whole thing. And then it happens a fourth time, and you forgive them. And then it happens a fifth time, and you forgive them again. And then it happens a sixth time, and you go through the whole process again, and you forgive them a sixth time. And then it happens a seventh time, in the same day. Jesus says that every one of those 7 times, you have to forgive them. But on the 8th time, on the 8th time, you get to punch him in the nose, cuss him out, and no. No, Jesus is not setting a limit. He's just saying, you always have to do it. He's saying that even in an absurdly terrible scenario in which the offender has sinned against you repeatedly in the same day and repents repeatedly in the same day, you got to repeat them repeatedly in the same day. Are you with the apostles when they say, increase our faith? This is not just a high standard for forgiveness. It is an insane standard for forgiveness. It is an impossible standard. This is beyond the human capacity to forgive. And the apostles, they knew that it was beyond the human capacity to forgive. That's why they cried out to Jesus for help. Increase our faith. Which one of the apostles said that? All of them. It says that all the apostles were saying this. They were all shocked and amazed and felt that they could not do it without divine empowerment. One of the books I was reading and studying for this sermon was from one of my dad's favorite commentators. The book's almost 100 years old now, written by a guy named G. Campbell Morgan. And G. Campbell Morgan said on this point, there was unanimity in their sense of difficulty. They said, increase our faith. They never spoke more intelligently than they did at that moment. Increase our faith. Give us a larger, firmer grasp upon the eternal truths, or else we cannot live this way. See, in order to live this way, in order to have a lifestyle of habitual, perpetual forgiveness, we need to have more faith in God. We need to trust that God's way is better than our way. We need to trust that God, when they tell us to do something there in a different way than what we think is right, that Jesus knows better than we do. And the thing that he is telling us to do is actually the best thing for us to do. Even if it doesn't seem to us like it is the best thing for us to do. We need to have faith and trust in God. Jesus concludes this section of the Bible that we're looking at today with a final teaching about the great power of faith. In verse 6, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. You see, things that seem impossible, like forgiving someone who sins against you 7 times in one day, or telling a tree to go jump in the ocean, those things are not impossible with faith. Jesus doesn't say that faith makes it easy. He says that faith makes it possible. And as we continue this series on forgiveness, we're going to get into a lot more detail about what this means and how it can be done. But today we're focused on the big idea that the Bible teaches that we need to forgive, and there is no limit to our forgiveness. No limit in terms of the extent of the wrong that is done to us, and no limit in terms of the number of times that we must forgive. And it's only with God's help that this is possible. So where are you today? Have things come to your mind as we've talked about forgiveness and talked about the need to forgive those who have hurt us? Are you with the apostles when you say, I can't do it, I need God's help? Because that's a good place to be. We all need God to give us more faith, give us more ability to follow his instructions, to do the things that he's calling us to do. And if you're feeling that way right now, I encourage you, in your heart, call out to Jesus. Increase my faith. Help me to do what you're calling me to do. And we look forward to several more weeks of teaching on forgiveness when we will work out more of what the Bible has to say and what God is calling us to do and how we can do it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and showing us what we need to do to live our best life. And I pray that you would increase our faith so that we can know that your way is the best way. We pray this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.